Amen.
All right. Good morning. Now that you're awake, after that nice, peaceful song, we've jolted you awake. But no, we really hope that Trinity Church is a place where you can come and lay down your burdens at the foot of the cross each week. And as you come and worship, remember that we have a Savior who took our sins upon himself so that we could be free of those burdens. And so, welcome to you. If you don't know me, my name is Marcus. I'm the senior pastor here. Glad you are here to worship with us this morning and open God's Word together. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 1 in just a moment. But before we do that, Jeff made some announcements, and thank you for doing that, Jeff. But I personally want to invite you, if you're newer around here, would love to have you come to the Discover Trinity class next Sunday. We'll feed you dinner, and it's just a couple of hours Sunday afternoon to get to know the staff, get to know what it means to be a part of this church family. If you come to that, you're not obligated to join the church, but it's the next step in that direction. And you know, we invite anyone to come find out if God is calling them to do that and to kind of learn what that involves. One other announcement that you saw in the bulletin that he did not mention is there is a pancake breakfast at the Business Farm on the 16th of March. And that's for any families who have young kids. So y'all, if you have kids that are kindergarten and under, please come join us. We're going to get all those young kids together. We have sort of a petting zoo out there, if you don't know. It's not supposed to be that, but it kind of is that. So y'all are welcome to come join us for breakfast that morning. So worship is a celebration of the goodness of God. And, you know, we have a lot of things to celebrate these days here at Trinity Church, and really much to celebrate this morning. You know, things that are going on in the life of our church family. In fact, just thinking about over the last week, some of the things that happened. Yesterday, Miguel was telling me he was at Rayburn Correctional Facility with one of our mission partners, Shane O'Hare, and a bunch of other people working with the men there in that prison. And so we're grateful for what God's doing there. And we also have other partners. In fact, if you were around last week, you probably saw that we had one of our key partners, Reach Global Crisis Response. And actually, for the past week, we've had RVs parked in the parking lot, a lot of cars here, and just things going on. This is one of our key partners. If you're not familiar with them, you'll see their warehouse across the parking lot. And really, this ministry comes in at a time when people are hurting. It was founded right after Hurricane Katrina to come in and help restore people whose lives have been torn apart by things like natural disasters. And so we're thankful for them and the way that they share the love of Christ with those in need. And so just a couple pictures. This week we were able to use our campus for their annual meetings. They had over 100 people, including the kids of the people who work with those, with that group, who came. That's a picture of them in the FDC. They did worship time. They did meals. They had equipping time, just prayer and fellowship. But I hope that it was a good time for them. I think I mentioned to you, we had them come out to our place for dinner on Monday night, all 100 of them. So here we are gathered around, able to break bread. And also, I wanted to say thank you. There's a number of Trinity Church folks that helped provide that meal, actually provided lodging for some of these families. We had some home groups that jumped in and helped. So thank you to you for that. Here's another couple pictures of just breaking the bread together out there at the Busnitz farm. And you could almost call it farm to table, except it wasn't our chicken that they ate. All right. So we're celebrating what God's doing with them. We're celebrating that God has provided that partnership. We're grateful for everything that happened here this week. Also this week, you'll notice this picture. Our women's ministry had an event out in our new foyer space. We've done a couple of events out there already. And there was actually, you'll see that table, a missional focus. They were able to collect things for the New Orleans mission, specifically the Lynn Haven campus. And so we're grateful that that happened as well. This morning, though, as Jeff mentioned, we are focusing a little bit on access. And this is the 2-year anniversary of the launch of that project. About exactly 2 years ago, almost to the day, is when we rolled this out and said we're going to jump into this. And if you're a guest here, you may not have any idea what this is, but please listen in. We'd love for you to hear what God's doing in part of our church family. And this morning, you know, as we celebrate that 2-year anniversary, we want to celebrate what God's already done, but also give you an opportunity to pray about and commit or recommit what he might want you to do to help make this continue to move forward. And so just a little summary here. We've gone from this, here's a view of our old foyer before we blew it open, to this, right, in September. All that stuff got torn out, making progress through December, started to come together. And then we got all the way to this event on Super Bowl Sunday, where we had a bunch of our rookies, our newcomers, join us for lunch that day. We're still celebrating what happened on that day, of course, as a church family. But we really are celebrating what God's doing through Access. And, you know, these updates that we're doing to the building, really believe that God's given us a tool with this campus and with this building to help us accomplish our mission as a church. And some of the things that have already been completed, the nursery, the foyer, family restroom that's going to be available soon, a mother's room fairly soon. The restrooms have been renovated, and that's not even done yet, y'all. We've got a bunch of stuff coming outside with a covered walkway to connect the buildings and a playground for toddlers and a playground for kids. We're excited to see these things happen. And really, you'll notice with all those things that so much of this focuses in on the kids and young families in the church, because that's the future of what God is going to do in the decades ahead here at Trinity Church. I wanted to show you, I showed you a little bit, just kind of the nuts and bolts of the math of this last week. I want to show that to you again as we're talking about making commitments. So the total cost of this project is $1.35 million. And that sounds like a lot of money. That's a price that was given to us probably 3 years ago. So we were able to work it down. It's gone kind of up and down, but we really think the project is going to end right there, almost exactly where we thought it was going to start when we started talking about this. 2 years ago today, we had a commitment Sunday, and $816,000 was pledged, which was awesome, to be fulfilled over 3 years. And of that $816,000, we've received $660,000 or thereabouts. And some of that money was not pledged, so we've probably received closer to about $600,000 out of the $800,000. So we're doing really well on that as well. But you'll see there's a gap there, right? So we would love to, at the end of this, be able to finance as little as possible, or depending on what God provides through his people, we'd love it if we didn't have to finance anything. And so we're praying that God provides what he needs. 2 years ago, we showed you kind of this illustration. And really, basically, the idea of this is that it takes gifts of all sizes from all different people in the church. And it doesn't matter how big or how small. God uses every size gift to make some of these things happen. And what's been awesome to see is that so many of these lines on there have been fulfilled and committed. And we're still praying that God provides what we need to do the entire thing. It was a 3-year commitment. Like I said, there's 12 months left. So many of you have about 12 months left on your commitment. Some of you have yet to make a commitment because you're newer. And so that's what we're inviting you to do today. What we're going to do at the very end of our service, you'll notice when you came in, there's a commitment card on a chair near you. And the front of that card just kind of shows what it would look like to commit over 12 months. And on the back of that card, you'll see kind of the way it breaks down. And basically what we're inviting you to do is consider three things. One is, if you've not made a pledge, pray about if God's leading you to do this. We really don't want to pressure anybody into this. This is an opportunity. Our leadership really feels like God has led us to this point. This is the next step forward in our church's journey. And so if God's calling you to participate in that, please join us. So you can make a new commitment. You can affirm the commitment you already had. So we'd actually love everyone, if you're able, to fill out a card and write down again what you still lack on your commitment and commit again to God that this is a gift from you to him. We do this on Sunday morning as part of our worship service because we really believe this is a sacrifice, an act of worship to carry God's kingdom forward here at Trinity Church. And then, so at the end of that time, we'll actually drop that card in the box at the back on your way out. And just so you know, nobody's watching. This is between you and God. Nobody's watching to see if you dropped it in the box or how much you wrote down. We really want this to be between you and God. And so, you know, the leadership of the church does not know what any person commits or gives. Our bookkeeping staff obviously has to. But we want this to be between you and God. And again, it's just an opportunity that we want to put before you. If he's leading you to do that, please join in with your church family. If you're a guest, you're not part of this church family, it's not for you. We would love for you to just pray for this church, pray that God uses this building, this facility. But really, this is a church family thing that we're doing. Here's a picture of what God is doing, I believe. You see, that's an architect's rendering of what that covered walkway is going to be doing, what it's going to look like. And literally, that walkway provides access between the two buildings. And if you look at that picture, you might see, you know, a walkway. You see a playground off there on the right. You see a beautiful place to sit with your church family. But really, what I want us to see in that picture is it's a metaphor, I think, for what God is doing. Not just connecting buildings, But God's connecting people to His grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we believe that's what we're all about here at Trinity Church. The verse that goes behind this whole project is Romans 5, verse 2. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. See, we're all about giving people access to God's grace here at Trinity, and we want to use our facility for that. We want to use our people for that, equip our people to do that, and let them use this building as a tool. I want to invite one of our elders, Jason Wanch, to come up and join me on the platform. And just as part of this day, we just wanted one of our elders also to give his thought about why the leadership believes this is the right thing at the right time. So, Jason, thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you bet. Good morning, family. First, I want to say a huge thank you to all the folks who have worked tirelessly behind the scenes to bring the vision for access to life. It's taken years of planning and preparation and prayer to make it happen. So please know that each of you who are working behind the scenes are an answer to prayer. I was going to bring each of you up on stage and give you a big hug, but Marcus said that would be awkward, so I'm not going to do that, sorry. Secondly, I want to thank you, the body, for your just incredible commitment to generosity. Without you, none of this is happening. And so thank you so much for what you've done and what you're going to do. It's amazing to see what God is doing through you. 40-plus years ago, a small group of believers gathered in a small building to have fellowship and to have gospel conversations with a vision to make an impact here on the North Shore. God grew them, grew their space, grew their facilities, and eventually Trinity Church was born. Over the years, we've had some incredible leaders and pastors and ministry leaders and mission partners and just tons of volunteers who have joined the church and made an impact here on the North Shore for the kingdom. As all these folks were engaged in their various ministries, they knew one thing, that none of this was theirs. It was just their turn. A few years ago, Marcus challenged us as a leadership group to start praying for new families to join the church. We're a simple group. And so in 2021, we started praying for 21 new families to join us. The Lord brought them in. In 2022, we prayed for 22 new families to join the church, and they came. And yes, last year we prayed for 23 new families, and the Lord brought them, even without a playground. If you're newer to the church, please know that you are a direct answer to prayer. And there's going to be a sweet playground soon, so that's going to be awesome. What excites us as a leadership group about this first phase of access coming to fruition is that it's laying the foundation for the next 40 years of gospel seeds to be planted over in the children's ministry. It's laying the foundation for the next 40 years of worship and baby dedications and baptisms to happen here in this room. It's laying the foundation for the next 40 years of youth and young adults to be prepared to go out into a world that desperately needs Christ. And yes, it's all those folks and volunteers up front who are serving coffee and serving pastries with warm smiles and hugs and handshakes, welcoming people into a church that boldly declares the gospel of Christ. And in all this, we know that this isn't ours. It's just our turn. So thank you again for all your prayer, your dedication, your generosity to this project as it comes to life. And we are so excited to see what God has in store for our next chapter.
Thanks, Jason. Yep. Appreciate that. Well, thank you, Jason, for your sharing. And Jason and all the elders do so much behind the scenes to shepherd this flock. And so we're grateful to them. And with all that he just shared, I'd like for us just to bow in prayer and pray for this. And then, like I said, at the end of the service, we'll circle back around to those commitment cards. So will you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for your church. God, we thank you that this is a place that's full of your grace, your peace, your truth, and your people. God, I just pray for your people this morning. God, that you would gift us, that you would enable us to do what it is you've called us to do as a church family. And Lord, I pray for many, many years of fruitful ministry for this place and in this place, God, for years to come. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Well, let's open our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you'll notice we've actually been in the same passage for 3 weeks in a row. That's not normal for me. But really, I think it fits where we are right now because this is Paul giving thanks and celebrating. And he's just full of gratitude, which I think fits exactly where we are at this point. You know, we're really harping on this idea of giving thanks. As you know, sometimes as Americans, we think, well, thanks, like, that's what you do at Thanksgiving. Like we have one day a year that we set aside for Thanksgiving, right? Well, Paul tells us throughout the New Testament, and especially right here, that he is always giving thanks. And the first week we saw he's giving thanks for people, for God's people, for the church. These people who are in a place called Corinth, a place that's full of grace and truth. And last week we saw that Paul is giving thanks to God. He's giving thanks to a person, a specific person, the great God of the universe, who chooses to be called our Father, who is faithful to the end. And today, we want to focus in on the fact that he calls us to give thanks to God always in Christ Jesus. All right, because those first two things, right, the people of God and God himself, they are connected by this one person whose name is Christ Jesus. And so we're going to be giving thanks this morning in Christ Jesus. And as I read through these verses, these nine verses again, you've heard them for 2 weeks already. But what I want you to pay attention to as I read them one more time is how many times you hear the word Jesus, how many times you hear the word Christ and Lord all in there. And it's just repeated so many times, the emphasis on Christ Jesus. So follow along as I read starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. It says this, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech, in all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this is the word of the Lord for us this morning. So you notice again, as I said, we're focusing in on this idea of giving thanks to God for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. We're going to focus on that last phrase this morning, in Christ Jesus. And as I read, like I said, you've probably heard this verses the last 3 weeks, last 2 weeks. But when you really listen through that lens of how many times is the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in there, it becomes clear that Paul in these first nine verses of the book says, I want you to know one thing, and that is that I am Christ-centered, that my message to you is Christ-centered, and that your entire life is called to be Christ-centered. See, the word Lord is used 6 times if you were counting. Jesus is used 8 times. And Christ is used 9 times. That's in a 9-verse stretch. It's almost one time every verse. This passage is Christ-centered. And Paul says to the church at Corinth, I think he says to the church at Trinity, you are called to be a Christ-centered people. That's his message for the church. Christ Jesus is our Lord. Christ Jesus is our Lord. And we showed you this map a couple weeks ago, the map of current day Greece. It's the same as the map of ancient Greece. The city Corinth is still there. See, Jesus Christ, Paul says, is Lord in Corinth. Here's a picture of the ruins of the temple of Apollos. So the people in those days would have known what this temple looked like. And Paul says to them, Apollos is not the Lord of Corinth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church in Corinth. I think Paul says to us today, Jesus Christ, Jesus is Lord in Covington, Louisiana. So we have our pillars too, right? Our architectural features, maybe not quite as great. But Jesus is Lord here on the North Shore. And the message for the church, the message for Trinity Church today, is that Christ Jesus is our Lord. One of the songs we sang a few minutes ago talked about how Jesus is the King. We don't have kings today, right? We have politicians. But this whole idea of a king is somebody that you give your absolute allegiance to. He's your ruler. A good king is one who loves his people, who cares for his people, and he is your Lord. So we want to unpack that this morning. And so what does it mean that Christ Jesus is our Lord? If you know him, Paul tells us, in Christ Jesus, you receive a number of things. And these are things that we've seen the last couple of weeks. But really, we're going to focus in on five things that if you're a believer, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you receive these five things in Christ Jesus. They're given to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. First one is this. In Christ Jesus, we receive our mission. Okay, we see this in verse 1 where Paul introduces himself. He says, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. So Paul says, God's given me my mission. He's given me my calling. It's God's will that I would be an apostle. Well, what does apostle mean? There are actually a couple of different meanings for that word in the New Testament. The word apostle, you've seen it probably spelled with a capital A, like the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, the Apostle James. These are the people who were eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Okay, when the New Testament talks about apostles, often it's talking about those people who actually saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead. And Acts tells us there were, I think, 400 or 500 people who actually saw Jesus in person. And those people are called apostles. Well, among those apostles are the 12 apostles, capital A apostles, who were the 12 disciples. Now, you remember one of the disciples, Judas, committed suicide and was no more. And so biblical scholars believe that in God's wisdom and timing, Paul really is that replacement for that 12th apostle. Now, the disciples chose Matthias, you'll see in Matthew or in Acts. But Paul became one of those capital A apostles who witnessed the risen Christ and then lived his life out as an apostle. That brings us to the other thing that apostle means. Apostle actually means one who is sent, right? So God sends these people out. And in that sense, every Christian is kind of an apostle, right? God sends us out into the world. He says, I'm sending you on a mission. Jesus' final words on earth were, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. So he sent out all of his disciples. He sends us out in the same way. Paul is sent out to tell people about Jesus. All his disciples are sent out. We are sent out with the same mission. See, we say the mission at Trinity Church is to develop fully devoted followers of Christ who love God and love others. God sent us out to make disciples. Now, it's interesting, in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, they're actually, well, we won't go down that rabbit trail. Some people think that there are actually more than two letters to the Corinthians, but that's another topic for another day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks a little bit more about this mission that has been given to all believers. Right? We receive this mission in Christ Jesus. It's what Jesus specifically gave to his people just before he went into heaven. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I love that verse, especially on Baptism Sunday, right? Baptism is such a great picture of that. Going down in the water is like you just dying and being buried to your sins. And then when you rise up, washed by the water, it's a picture of the salvation that was given you in Jesus Christ. You are a brand new creation. Verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You ever heard of that word reconciliation, right? Usually you talk about that when two people aren't getting along, sometimes in a broken marriage, right? We pray that God would help this husband and wife to reconcile, right? To mend their differences, to fix whatever was broken. And God tells us that between humans and himself, things were broken, right? Because we're sinful and he is not, we're broken, separated from him, and we need to be reconciled to him, to have things patched up. So this, Paul tells us, is our mission as well. This ministry of reconciliation. Spread this message that you can be reconciled to God. Share Jesus with others. Look at verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us this message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So what Paul tells us is that in Christ Jesus, we've received our mission, our marching orders. And that is to go out and be his ambassadors, be his apostles, be the ones he sends out into the world to share this message of reconciliation. That's the gospel. God says he can heal broken people. So Jesus said to his disciples, I think it was in the Gospel of Matthew, follow me, not just so you can have fun following me, right? He says, I'm going to follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, you follow me and I'm going to give you a mission to go out and bring more people into a relationship with me. That's our mission. Question this morning. You know, Paul wrote this letter, verse 2, it says, to the church of God that is in Corinth. And then he goes on to say, and also to all those who call upon the name of the Lord, which includes anyone in this room who's a believer. And so what has God called Trinity Church to do? And I would suggest to you it's the same thing that he called the Corinthian church to do. To go out and make disciples and draw people into God's family. To develop wholehearted followers of Christ who love God and love others. So in Christ Jesus, we receive our mission, right? From the very first verse of this book, Paul says, God's given you a task. He's given me a task. We share in this task. Go and make disciples. Number two, though, what we receive in Christ Jesus is our sanctification. Verse 2 says this, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. All right, this idea of sanctification, that's a big, heavy theological word, but it really means something very simple. To be sanctified means to be made holy, right? To be made different than you were. Holy means set apart. So God says, if I'm going to make you holy, that means I'm going to set you apart to be my people, which is different than you were before. And he says, I don't know if you notice, he says in there, they are called to be saints. Called to be saints. There's a lot of confusion around that word and what that means. And this idea of called to be saints, who are the saints? It's not just that football team down on the other side of the lake, right? It's also not just St. Tammany or St. John and St. Paul and St. Peter. Fill in the list of all these saints that throughout history the church has called saints. See, Scripture tells us that every single person who calls on the name of the Lord is a saint. You've been made holy because you've trusted in Christ. So we've got St. Sam and St. Kara and St. Hannah and St. Gary and St. Teresa. And, you know, we could fill in the blank. Anyone who's trusted Christ is a saint. These are not some people that are on a higher pedestal that we all look up to and say, well, I wish we could be like them someday. God says, if you know Christ, you are a saint. And the process of being a saint is called sanctification. Because here's the thing. He declares that you are holy. Basically, he says, you're not guilty. You're a holy person once you come to know Christ. But I don't know about you all. I still make mistakes, right? I still sin. I still struggle with temptation. And this whole book, I hope, is an encouragement to you if you're like me. because Paul's writing to these people and he says, you're saints. And then in the next few chapters, he tells us how messed up they are. They're really struggling saints. And he says, I am calling you back to be sanctified, to walk in a way of life that lines up with what Jesus has done for you. It's in Philippians 1:6, Paul says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion at the day of Christ. In other words, if you're frustrated right now, you're saying, you're calling me a saint, but I don't feel like a saint. You're in good company, all right? A lot of people felt that way. And Paul tells us that this whole thing of sanctification, becoming more and more like Jesus, is a process, a lifelong process. And we receive that through Jesus Christ. So here's the thing. Sometimes, you know, we put a big emphasis on you are saved through Christ alone. We're going to talk about that more in just a second. You're saved through Christ alone, but you're also sanctified through Christ alone. Sometimes we think, God saved me, now it's up to me to make myself right and make myself good and a good person. Paul tells us that this sanctification only happens in Christ Jesus. You can only become like Jesus through his help, through the Holy Spirit. He who started a good work in you will complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. So how is God using Trinity Church to sanctify you? Remember back here in Corinth, he's saying, if you're part of this church, then God is sanctifying you through that church, in that church. How is God using Trinity Church to make you more like his son, Jesus? How is he using this church? Maybe it's through teaching. Maybe it's through the preaching you hear, God's word. Maybe it's through home groups. If you're in a home group and people are encouraging you to walk with Christ, maybe it's through Bible studies you have. If you're a student, maybe it's through the youth group that you're growing in your walk with Christ, some of the trips and just the teaching in small groups you do. Maybe it's through volunteering, Bible studies, all these things. But God wants to use his church, this church, to sanctify you. This is the place, if God's called you to Trinity Church, where he wants to shape you, to change you, to conform you to the image of his son. That's the second thing. We receive our sanctification in Christ Jesus. Third, we also receive our grace and peace. And we already talked about this a couple weeks ago, but here are these verses. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, grace and peace don't come from any other place besides God through Jesus Christ. Verse 4, I thank my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. See, there's no other kind of grace that can save you except the kind that comes through Christ Jesus. Paul's telling right at the beginning of this letter, don't forget that. The grace and forgiveness and the peace you have with God, that is in Christ Jesus. Those three words, in Christ Jesus, are loaded words. You can't have this unless you're in Christ Jesus. Grace only comes one way. So you may have heard this illustration before, but you know, here in Louisiana, we're familiar with bridges, right? And here's a picture of the Golden Gate Bridge in California. That bridge is 1.5 miles long, and really the point of a bridge, right, is to get people from one side to the other. And in that case, 1.5 miles. Well, that's kind of a puny bridge, right, by our standards. I mean, this one looks so much better, right? The causeway is 26 miles long. Amazing. Doesn't look quite as good as that Golden Gate Bridge, does it? But the point is still the same, to get people from one side to the other. That's the point of a bridge, to get across a body of water, to get across a river or a lake. But imagine this. See, Scripture tells us that when humans try to get from where they are to where God is, there's an enormous gulf in between. An ocean, a gulf, a canyon so big that you could never cross it. So we can build a bridge. We could even build a bridge 100 miles long. But let's say you combined all the oceans into one body of water and said, I'm going to try to get across. You can't swim. I've got news. I don't care what kind of engineer you are. You can't build a bridge that will get you across. And Scripture tells us there's no way you can build a bridge to get from where you are to where God is because you're a sinful person. So here's a picture that you may have seen as well. See, Jesus built a bridge so that we could receive God's grace. And that bridge came through the cross. Jesus said, you humans are sinful. You can never get across that great divide to God. In fact, you deserve the death penalty for your sin. But I'm going to die in your place on the cross. And all you have to do is trust me. Trust that I can forgive your sins and you will be saved. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe in your heart that God has saved you and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the only one who can do that. Jesus is Lord. ABC, admit, believe, confess. There's a poem that kind of goes along with this idea of a bridge. I'm just going to read a couple lines of it. It says this: with only three nails and two pieces of wood, with one rugged cross, Jesus built a bridge. With only three nails and two pieces of wood, with one rugged cross, Jesus made a way. See, Jesus alone gives us the grace so that our sins can be forgiven and we can live at peace with God. It's in Christ alone that we receive this grace and peace. This morning, I would just ask you, have you walked across that bridge? Have you trusted that Jesus is the only one who can give you a relationship? You can't build a bridge by being good enough, by giving enough money, by sneaking in. God says there's only one way that you can come to God, and that's through the grace of Jesus, the free gift of eternal life. Here's a question for you. If you are a believer and you're here in this church, how is God using Trinity Church to share his grace and peace? And how are you a part of that? You know, it might be through our missions, through our kids' ministry, our youth ministry. But overall, we are called to be a church that proclaims this good news, this grace and peace, like Paul does at the beginning of this letter. Grace and peace can be yours if you know Jesus Christ. See, in Christ Jesus alone, that's where we receive grace and peace, forgiveness for our sins. Number four, the fourth thing we receive that we see in these verses is our spiritual gifts. We're going to come back to this later in 1 Corinthians, but let me just read these verses. In every way you are enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, a spiritual gift is an ability that God gives to his people, to one of his people. And that ability or that gift is his supernatural power, something that you can do, something you can use to serve the church and build his kingdom. It might be some kind of gift of speaking. Maybe it's you have the gift of preaching or teaching or encouraging, words of wisdom. Maybe you have the gift of serving through hospitality, through just doing things to serve others. Those are some of the gifts we're going to see later in the book of 1 Corinthians. But either way, God says every single believer has been given a gift so that they can help build the church up. Not in their own strength, but in God's strength. The Holy Spirit living inside you, working through you. So here's the question. Do you know what your gift is? And how has God gifted you to help build his church? How has God gifted you? A lot of times, here's what Christians are guilty of. It's almost like, I've used this illustration before. God gives you a brand new car. Somebody gives you a brand new car, set of keys, 2024 model. You take it home and park it in the garage, hang the keys up, and never use it. Right? How idiotic would that be? It's like, you have a brand new car, use it. And yet, that's what we do with our spiritual gifts. God says, I've given every single one of you a gift to use to serve the church, to build the church. And a lot of us either don't take the time to figure out what that gift is, or even if you know what it is, you just park it in the garage and say, I'll use that someday when I'm not so busy. That's a tragedy, y'all. God has gifted you to help build his church, to build Trinity Church, which is part of his worldwide church. Chapters 12, 13, and 14, that's what we're going to look at later in the book that talk about this topic. Number five, in Christ Jesus, we receive our security. Our security. Look at verses 8 and 9. It says, this is talking about Jesus, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, in those verses, there's some key words. One is guiltless, right? It says you are declared not guilty if you know Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, your sins have been forgiven. It also says God is faithful. God is faithful. He will sustain you through Christ Jesus. This is not a maybe. Hey, when the end of time comes and it's time for you to give an account of how you lived your life, boy, I sure hope I'm good enough to get into heaven. Or I hope that God accepts everything I've done. This is not a maybe. It's a guarantee that God will be faithful to see you into his kingdom if you know his son, Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus, you have your security. See, the security of the Golden Gate Bridge, the reliability of it, depends on what? On its foundation. On how those pillars rest. And really, that bridge is only as strong as its foundation. If that foundation gives way, the whole thing will collapse. Someday it will, right? It's not going to last forever. But if you know Jesus Christ, I want you to know this, then you have a foundation. Hebrews tells us you have an anchor that will never give way. Hebrews 6:19. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It's talking about Jesus Christ. You see, if you know Jesus Christ, he is your anchor. He is your security. And this is the foundation that can never be moved. You can have this if you are in Christ Jesus. I want to invite the worship team to come up. See, this is what we give thanks for when we worship, is that in Christ alone, we have this security, this bridge, this foundation that can never be moved. How can we give people access to that security that we have in Christ? See, we know the one person, the one thing that can save us for all eternity. And it's been given to you free of cost. How can we as a church give people access into that security? Here's what I would tell you. It's not just by sitting in these chairs. It's by getting out there, being around people, welcome them, invite them into God's family. You're a part of God's family. He says, go out and spread this good news. Invite people into our church. Invite people into our homes. Invite people into your lives. And show them with word and deed that Jesus Christ is your anchor. And it's through him alone that you can have security for all eternity. Will you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this chance to gather, to look at your word. God, I thank you that we are grateful for your church, grateful to you, God, grateful through your son, Jesus Christ, that all this is possible, God. Thank you that he's the bridge that made a way. And Lord, I pray that in the days and years to come, you would use Trinity Church in a powerful way to spread this message. God, I pray this morning as we make commitments that you would use whatever sacrifices we make, whether it's financial, whether it's our time, whether it's our home. God, use our sacrifices to multiply your kingdom. And God, I pray that many more people would come to be in Christ, to know these many things that you give us through him. Use our church in that way. It's in the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. What we're going to do right now is just a little different than how we normally end a service. Take out that commitment card, and we'd love for every person in here or every family to fill this out. Even if you've already made a commitment, go ahead and write down what still remains. Or if you don't remember what remains, it's okay to write that too. Some of you may be affirming your commitment and saying, I've already fulfilled it. Praise God. Write that down and thank God for it. We're going to take a few minutes just to pray over this. If you're new and you feel like God's leading you to make a commitment, we'd invite you to do that. New, affirm, or increase, whatever God's calling you to do. But pray about it. Write it down. I think I said this before. If you're new here, if you're a guest here, this is not for you. This is for our church family. But I would ask you, as you're sitting here, as we're going through this process, pray for Trinity Church. And pray that everything that's happening connected to Access would be something that strengthens what God is doing here. In fact, I'd ask all of you to do that. As you make this commitment this morning, pray that God will use every single thing we do, everything we commit to build this church. So just take a couple minutes. In just a few minutes, the worship team is going to lead us in a song. We'll stand up, and then on your way out, drop these cards in the box at the back. But again, don't let your commitment stop with what you do today or say today or give today. Pray that God does great things here at Trinity, that He uses us as His people and uses this place to multiply His love to thousands of people. Just take a couple minutes, and we'll sing a song in just a second.